ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सफला पश्यतो जस्य तक्षणात् यादृश्यन्त घना श्यामा भीतकोशेय वाससा। Then, while Lord Brahma looked on, all the calves and the boys tending them immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clouds, and to be dressed in yellow silken garments. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Brahma was contemplating, all the calves and cowherd boys immediately transformed into Vishnu Murtis, having bluish complexions and wearing yellow garments. Brahma was contemplating his own power and the immense, unlimited power of Krishna. But before he could come to a conclusion, he saw this immediate transformation. Chaturbhuja Sankachakra Gadara Jivapanaya Kiritina Kundalino Harino Vanamalinaha Srivatsangada Doratna Kambu Kankanapanaya Nupurai Katakaya Bhata Kati Sutra Guliyakai. All those personalities had four arms, holding conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus flower in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chests was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kostuba gem, around their necks, which were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and bracelets on their wrists, with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred bells around their waists. They all appeared very beautiful. Purport. All the Vishnu forms had four arms with conch shell and other articles. But these characteristics are also possessed by those who have attained Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha, and who consequently have forms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms appearing before Lord Brahma also possess the mark of Srivats and the Kustuba gem, which are special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. This proves that all these boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, not merely His associates of Vaikuntha. Vishnu Himself is included within Krishna. All the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna, and consequently for Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms was actually not very astonishing. The Srivats mark is described in the Vaishnava Toshani as being a curl of fine yellow hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees. It is a special mark of Vishnu or Krishna. Then, while Lord Brahma looked on, all the calves and the boys tending them immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clouds, and to be dressed in yellow silken garments. Here Krishna is revealing to Lord Brahma how he is the supreme source of everything that exists, including the source of Brahma's own father, Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu. At the beginning of the creation, from the lotus flower, which sprung from the very navel of the Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu, the first progenitor of this creation, this universe, Lord Brahma, took birth. He is known as Swayambhu, which means, or Atmabhu, which means he is manifested in this most miraculous way. Lord Brahma has no mother in whom he appeared from the womb of, but directly from the lotus flower emanating from Vishnu. And here, this beautiful little cowherd boy, who was appearing in such an innocent, playful manner, roaming through the groves of Brajbhumi with his beloved friends. Brahma, with his four heads, he can see at all times all four directions throughout this entire universe. So certainly, he had been witnessing many of the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. How this charming young child is roaming through the forests of Vrindavan, playing with his friends, playing upon his flute, being trained and disciplined by his mother, Yashoda, and father, Nanda Maharaj. How, like so many other children, performing mischievous pranks, sometimes stealing from gopis, sometimes playing with calves. When he was very young, one of his enjoyable pastimes was to hold on to the tail of a calf, and the calf would become so frightened it would start to run. It would drag him through all the dust of Vrindavan. And the gopis, upon seeing this fun, they would be laughing. And Krishna was simply enjoying being taken for a ride. All children, they like to take rides. Horse rides, merry-go-ride, merry-go-round rides. So Krishna would ride upon the calves. And how Krishna was the object of the love, the object of the affection, the attraction of all of the Brijbasis, who could not understand that he was some supreme power. Even when he would sometimes display his supreme opulence, the blindness of their particular love would not allow them to see anything except their most lovable friend or child. So here Lord Brahma is being given darshan of just a one particular aspect of the supreme opulence of this child of Vrindavan. Sri Vrindavan Nath. And in doing so, he is also showing the world how Krishna is Adi Purusha. How this beautiful form of Govinda is the source of everything that exists, even the source of Lord Brahma's father, Vishnu. How from Krishna, not one Vishnu, but innumerable Vishnus are manifesting simultaneously, each one possessing all of the opulence of Lord Narayan. Each one possessing Srivatsa, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, upon his chest. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that this is very significant, because in the Vaikuntha planets, those who attain the Sarupya Mukti, they can attain the same form of Lord Narayan in the spiritual world. But they always remain eternally the servants of Narayan. And what is the distinction as far as physical or bodily characteristics between the Supreme Lord Narayan and his eternal servants who have identical forms as him? It is explained that only the Lord Narayan manifests the presence of Srivats and the Kustubha Mani. And therefore, even in the Vaikuntha, although there are innumerable Vishnu forms, everyone understands who is Jiva and who is Vishnu by this most extraordinary manifestation of Srivats upon the chest. And in the spiritual world, no one, even in their perfectly liberated condition, can bring the presence of Lakshmi upon their own chests. Because Lakshmi Devi is the chaste, faithful consort of Narayan alone. And therefore, she agrees to be the servant of no one else. She agrees to be embraced as the consort of no one else. She always wants to remain close to the heart of the Lord. And therefore, she has manifested herself in this most wonderful way, so that she never, ever, ever is separated from the very heart of the Lord. But here we find Vrindavan, which appears to be a simple cowherd community, does not have the wealth of Vaikuntha in regard to Aishwarya or great opulence. In Vaikuntha Loka, everything is made of the most invaluable elements. There is beautiful, fabulous palaces, unimaginably decorated with the most priceless, glittering jewels and stone. It is the kingdom of God. It is described in various chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the infinite opulence of Vaikuntha Loka. There is such fabulous spiritual wealth that even Brahmaloka and Indraloka appear to be petty slum areas in comparison to the supreme, bejeweled opulence of Vaikuntha Loka. And Vrindavan, very simple place, no big palaces, no goddesses of fortune decorated with such lavish ornaments. The gopis, they are simple, dressed as cowherd girls. And Vrindavan is a forest. One time, there was a debate between Srivas Thakur and Swarup Damodar Goswami. One was taking the side of the consort or the maidservant of Lakshmi Devi, and one as a maidservant of Sri Radharani. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was explaining that you are thinking that Vaikuntha is so much superior to Vrindavan. You want to take our Lord Jagannath to Vaikuntha. You think that it is not worthy of the Supreme Lord of the universe to be living in a simple forest. But do you know what is the opulence of the forests of Braj Bhumi? Everything is Chintamani. Every blade of grass, every tree, every molecule of dust is wish-fulfilling. That the ambrosial sound of Krishna's flute is all-pervading and bringing infinite joy to everyone's hearts. Although Vrindavan appears to be a simple place, a Vaishya community, here Krishna is exhibiting the true glory of Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, there is one Narayan. There is one Lakshmi upon his chest. But Krishna is revealing in Vrindavan, which is the source of all Vaikuntha planets, that innumerable Narayans are appearing with innumerable Lakshmis upon the chest. And this story is very important because Krishna is revealing to the world how Braj Bhumi is the supreme most opulent of all spiritual abodes, and how he, Lord Sri Krishna, Govinda, the cowherd boy of Braj Dham, is the source of even all of the glory of Vaikuntha. And Lord Brahma, upon seeing this manifestation, upon seeing this phenomena, is struck with wonder. Therefore, sometimes people ask us that why you say that Krishna is the supreme source of all incarnations, when it is also said that Krishna is the ninth avatar of Lord Vishnu. I'm sorry, the eighth avatar of Lord Vishnu. How is it possible? Is Krishna the incarnation of Vishnu? Or is Vishnu the incarnation of Krishna? Categorically, they are both correct. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma, who is the original spiritual master and father of all living beings, is declaring that Govinda is the source of everyone and everything that exists. He is the original Purusha. Even his own father, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, is a Purusha avatar. But it is described by Brahma, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. that Krishna, Govinda, is the original Purusha in whom all other Purushas are manifesting. Lord Brahma also explains, just like many candles, they all give the same light, but still there is one original candle from which the light of all the other candles is manifesting. So it is this Brahma, this same Brahma, after his mature realizations, who has come to this conclusion. And here we find that Vishnu in Goloka Vrindavan is an expansion of Krishna. In fact, from the one body of Krishna, millions and billions of Vishnus can manifest within a second. Therefore, the evidence is quite clear that Vishnu is an emanation or a manifestation, or an expansion of the supreme original form of Govinda. But it is explained that at the time when the earth was overburdened with asuras, Mother Earth appeared as a cow and approached Lord Brahma and approached the devatas, asking for relief. And even with all the power of Brahma and all of the demigods, they were helpless to do anything to counteract the exploitative activities of these great demons. So, when everything is hopeless, everything is helpless, and everything is beyond our own power, such devotees of the Lord, they turn to Krishna. So they went to the ocean of milk, where Kshirodakshayi Vishnu resides on the island of Swetadweep, and they prayed to Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead's expansion, who is the Lord and proprietor of the universe. The Lord expands himself as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu to be the superintending Supreme Lord of every universe. Although Svetadvip is within this universe, it is a Vaikuntha planet within this universe. It is purely transcendental. So, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu promised that he would appear. And factually, all of the great avatars who appear in this world are incarnations or expansions of this Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So therefore, when the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is the source of Karanodakshayi Vishnu, who is the source of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who is the source of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, when he decided to appear, he appeared through the common procedure as an incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So, in that sense, it is a fact that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu, but Vishnu is also an expansion of Krishna. So they are both correct, but one is a higher understanding. The immediate explanation is that Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu, but the ultimate explanation is that Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Ete Chang Chakalapungsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In order to kill the enemies of Indra, the Lord incarnates in so many wonderful forms. Bhagavatam explains that those forms are like waves in an ocean. But Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, that original form from whom all forms originate, is Krishna. And Krishna, in his Vrindavan Leela, accommodates the supreme facility for unrestricted love in the utter freedom of the rasas, conjugal, vatsalya, parental, sakya, friendly ras. And even the Lord of Vaikuntha and all of his various expansions does not provide such freedom for his devotees to serve him and to love him in the ecstasy of the Leela of Vrindavan. So here is a very, very, very important lesson. It is through this pastime that we understand Krishna. To some extent, at least, we can understand who he really is. When Krishna kills the demons in Brajbhumi, although he is Govinda, he takes on the mood of Vasudev. He takes on the mood of Vishnu when he kills the demons. Because as Govinda, he is simply the playful Lord reciprocating love with his devotees. He has no business killing demons. It is below his dignity, in one sense, to be killing demons. He is simply playing. He has no work to do. So therefore, when the demons come to Vrindavan, Krishna assumes his Vasudeva feature and kills them. But here we find in this story, that Krishna is revealing. He is revealing to the whole world, to all living beings. How? Vrindavan Leela is supreme. In fact, when the gopis, when they were searching for Krishna near Chandra Sarovar at Govardhan Hill during the Ras Leela of the springtime, Krishna, they could not find him anywhere. But then they spotted him. He was sitting under a tree. So the Lord, not having anywhere to run to, he assumed his form of Narayan with the four arms decorated with the four symbols of Vishnu. And the gopis, when they saw Narayan, at first they thought it was Krishna. They were running toward him. In fact, they did see Krishna. But when they came close, they could understand that it was not their original loving Krishna, but it was the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan. So they offer their obeisances with folded hands, and they said, "My dear Lord Narayan, have you seen our Krishna?" They were not interested in Lord Narayan. They could not dance with Narayan. They could not embrace Narayan. They could not receive the amorous loving glances from Lord Narayan.
Thought four, they loved him in respect, but the intimacy of conjugal love could not awaken in their hearts upon the sight of Lord Narayan. So they simply were not interested in him. They wanted to leave him immediately, searching for Krishna.
Have you seen our Lord Govinda, Shyam Sundar?
And with his four arms, he said, he has gone that way. And immediately they ran that way. So we find that the gopis are not the slightest bit inclined toward Narayan. But we find Lakshmi Devi, how she left Narayan to dance with Krishna. The story that I have just told of the gopis respectfully rejecting Narayan to look for Krishna, that took place on the banks of Chandra Sarovar, and today there is a temple, and there is a murti of four-armed Narayan, who is actually Krishna in disguise, that was installed by Vajranab, the great-grandson of Lord Sri Krishna. You can visit that place even today. It is a very important place, because it is in that place that devotees go and they could remember and contemplate the supreme opulence of Krishna and the divine love that Krishna manifests into the heart of his devotees that is far superior even to that of his expansion of Vaikuntha, the Lord of the universe. But in another place, on the other side of the river Jamuna, at a place called Bilvavan, we find another temple. That is a place where Lakshmi Devi, it's called Srivan, it is a place where she left the Lord of Vaikuntha because she was so attracted to the beauty of Sri Krishna. She knew that there was no difference between Narayan and Krishna, same person, but she could not enjoy such a loving relationship with her own consort. So she abandoned him. And it is described that she sat there for a long time performing tapasya in order to enter into the Ras Lila. But she was not permitted to even cross the Jamuna into the Ras Mandala. So she performed her tapasya, and the gopis informed her that because you have this feeling of reverence in your heart toward the Lord of Vaikuntha, and because you cannot give up that feeling of reverence, therefore there is no place for you in the Ras Lila. But as a reward for your tapasya, you will be able to perceive in spiritual vision the beautiful Ras Lila of Sri Krishna. So she sat there at Srivan, and in the ecstasy of love, she was able to witness everything that was taking place. But she was not allowed to enter. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at Srirangam, he was telling Venkata Bhat, who was a great devotee of Lord Narayan, that why you are worshipping Narayan, don't you understand the sweetness of Krishna's name and the sweetness of Krishna's lila is far more full and satisfying to the soul? And Narayan Venkata Bhat said, but Krishna and Narayan are the same person? Ah, if they are the same person and there is no difference, Mahaprabhu, he quoted this story, then why is it that Lakshmi is leaving Narayan to have lila with Sri Krishna? Why is she performing tapasya, severe austerities, to enter into the Ras Lila?
And then it was explained that actually Lakshmi Devi was not at all unchaste by doing this, because she was aware that Krishna was none other than a manifestation of her own husband. She was not leaving her husband for another man. She simply wanted to enjoy her husband. She wanted to be enjoyed by her husband in a superior role that he would play, the role of Govinda. So Lakshmi admits that I am attracted. I am willing to leave Narayan to perceive the beauty of the Rasleela of Sri Krishna. But the gopis, when they saw Narayan, they had no attraction. Krishna can attract Lakshmi, but Narayan cannot attract the gopis. So what is this? When we put all of these things together, we can understand the supreme, superior position of Krishna as the original manifestation, the original personality of Godhead, from whom everything emanates. This is Vrindavan. This is the greatness and the glory of Brajbhumi. And the great acharyas tell us that the Vrindavan that is now present, just 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is that self-same Brajbhumi that we are reading about in these pages of the Bhagavatam. It is the self-same abode of Goloka Vrindavan manifesting in this world. But until our eyes, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Bilochanena, until they are decorated with the salve of love, until they are freed from the inebrieties of material attachment, the beauty of Vrindavan is concealed. But when we approach Vrindavan, and we approach the holy name of Krishna, and we approach the Leela of Krishna, and we approach the devotees of Krishna with sincere devotion, then gradually the supreme, unlimited splendor of Brajbhumi is revealed before our very eyes. And for that devotee who is always sincerely serving his spiritual master, who is always sincerely glorifying the holy name of Sri Krishna, that abode of Vrindavan is revealed within our very hearts. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Is there any questions?
Actually, Maharaj, I have three questions. The first one is, Lord Brahma had studied the Vedas from Padmanabha, Lord Padmanabha. So that means at that stage he was not aware Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhajami. He only became aware after the Raj Leela. Is that correct? Because the Vedas don't teach this.
Brahma Samhita was spoken by Lord Brahma at the dawn of creation, at the beginning of the creation. Therefore, Lord Brahma had this realization far before. But he was covered over by Yoga Maya, simply so that Krishna could demonstrate his supreme opulence to all of the world, to all living beings.
The second question is, maybe Lord Brahma, this is my question, he may have had a theoretical realization, but when there was a practical demonstration at Rajbhumi, that becomes more sweet. Is that understanding correct?
Certainly it becomes more sweet. In spiritual life, everything, every relationship with Krishna becomes more sweet. Nothing is stagnant, nothing is idle. For Lord Brahma, at the dawn of creation, he was able to witness Goloka Vrindavan. He was able to perceive it all. But here, he is actually being allowed entrance into Goloka Vrindavan to be a part of the divine Leela of Sri Krishna. So in that sense, yes, it is sweet, sweeter and sweetest.
And the third question I had was, of course, more pertains to business people like us.
You mean miniature Lord Brahmas?
miniature Ravans. you mentioned in your lecture today that only Lakshmi Devi can reside at the chest of Narayan. So we should not take too much money at heart and love money. Lakshmi is, after all, money in form of sort of in this world we equate, we say Lakshmi when we say money, when it's used in Lord's service. So we should not therefore take too much money at heart. It amounts to that, right?
It means that however much you have, don't try to keep it on your own chest. Offer it to Gopinath's chest. Yes?
I just wanted to know that by seeing the this love between the gopis and Krishna to that extent that it's so pure and so transcendental that even Lakshmi also wanted to become like a gopi. So I wanted to know that what is that thing that the gopis have done in the past life? By what is that love, what is that austerity, what is the penances, what is that they have done by which they were able to get that such a topmost position?
It is explained by the acharyas that there are various classifications of gopis. Many of them are nitya siddhas. Many of them are eternally liberated souls that simply descend from Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world as part of the Lord's entourage of performing his leela in this material world. Others, it is explained, from pure devotees. When a devotee who is a sadhana bhakta, through sadhana perfects his life and becomes purified and enters into the atmosphere of Vrindavan consciousness, if that person, his siddha deha, his spiritual form in Goloka is to be a gopi, it is described that such a person does not go directly to Goloka Vrindavan, but that purified soul who has attained the mercy of Krishna through serving Gurudev, he first goes to a planet or a universe where Sri Krishna is performing his leela, which is called Gokula. And there, further purification takes place, and he is trained by the gopis how to again revive his original natural relationship with Krishna. And then after taking part in that leela, when Krishna winds up that leela in that particular universe, then that gopi goes back to Goloka Vrindavan. So some of the gopis are perfected souls, pure devotees, through the sadhana bhakti platform, who were given entrance into Krishna's leela. Some were nitya siddhas. It is also explained that there were sages at the time of Ramchandra who were pure devotees. They were already pure devotees. But when they saw Ram, they were so enamored and attracted by his beauty that they wanted to enjoy the relationship of his lover. But Ramchandra told them that in this incarnation, I have only one consort, that is Sita. I do not allow anyone else to have this relationship with me. But as Krishna, I am even more magnanimous than I am now. I will allow anyone who has a pure heart and desires this relationship to enter into this leela with me. So those sages of the forest, they became gopis. So in this way there are many different classifications from where the gopis were coming from, by which they were qualified to have this supremely ecstatic leela of love with Sri Krishna. Yes?
In the discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatabhat, it is explained that the gopis could not enter, the Lakshmi Devi could not enter Ras Leela because she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis. What is exactly the meaning of that, that she could not follow in the footsteps of it?
Pots of butter on your head. And you have to serve the older gopis. You have to be the menial servant of the older gopis. Huh? So in other words, to follow in the footsteps of the gopis means to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the maid servants of Sri Krishna. You cannot be attached to being the queen. Huh? And you have to love Krishna in such sweet and pure simplicity. To think that you are the consort of the Supreme Godhead means you are the queen of all of existence. But the gopis consider themselves simply the girlfriends of a cowherd boy. Huh? They did not have such pompous feeling of prestige for themselves. They would feed the calves. They would carry things on their head. They would milk the cows. They would clean the floors. Huh? This was the gopis. Very simple, humble servants. But everything they did was simply for the pleasure of Krishna. They would do anything for Krishna. That's what it means to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Shigaleen, would you like to add anything to that? Do you ever see pictures of Lakshmi Devi washing floors, milking cows, or carrying big pots on her head? She has everyone else doing that. She's following, massaging the feet. Huh? The gopis are simple, cowherd girls. Yes?
That means if we are only...
In fact, even Nathji's daughter, who's like a queen in her house, when she went to Barsana, I told her, your job is you have to carry buckets of water on your head and milk cows. To get in the proper spirit. She did. remember?
Yeah.
She was very happy. Yes?
That means if we have too much attachment for Lakshmi, then we cannot enter Vrajbhumi. It amounts to that.
Our attachment should be to assist Lakshmi in her service to Narayan. To assist Lakshmi in her service to Krishna. We are not meant to enjoy Lakshmi. We are meant to assist Lakshmi in being enjoyed by Narayan. Then we can enter into Vaikuntha. We are not meant to enjoy Lakshmi, we are meant to be the maidservant of Lakshmi. We are meant not to meant to enjoy Radharani, but we are meant to be the maidservants of Sri Radharani. And what does it mean to be the maidservant? To just assist her in her wonderful lila with Sri Krishna. Not to try to take her for ourselves. If we try to take her for ourselves, she becomes Durga with her trident to pierce our hearts. But when we assist her in giving pleasure to Narayan, then she appears as Radharani, as Lakshmi Devi. Radha and Lakshmi, they do not have tridents in their hand. Their hand is open with nothing, just giving their blessings. And here at Gopinath Mandir, Radharani, her hands are in the mood of offering. What is she offering? She is offering all of us, all of our service, all of our lives. She's simply offering them all to the feet of Gopinath. Lakshmi is the energy of the original Lakshmi. In one sense, there is no difference between the energy and the energetic source, but at the same time, there is simultaneously one indifference. All the wealth, all the opulence of this world is the energy of Lakshmi Devi. It is the proprietorship of Lakshmi Devi. And she has created it all for the pleasure of Vishnu. And if we try to keep it for ourselves, then she becomes Durga.
Maharaj, does it mean that this Yoga Maya's influence is there only in Yoga Maya influence is only there in Goloka Vrindavan, it is not there in Vaikuntha planets?
Yoga Maya is eternally manifest in the Vaikuntha planets. Yoga Maya is the spiritual energy of the Lord. Mahamaya is manifest in this material world. One is the deluding potency, and one is the enriching potency.